Good morning and welcome to Community Chat. I'm your host, Ralph Lynch, and we'll get to our program here in just a moment. Do want to acknowledge our sponsor. They've been with us now for quite some time, and their idea, of course, is to bring different things, information, so forth in the area. And they're highly involved in so many organizations, and they help so many. And that's Baker's Furniture here in Tahlequah. And, of course, they're in the business to sell furniture, and they do quite a job of it. They've been doing it now for 53-plus years, believe it or not. I remember when Bill John started his first store years ago, so that kind of dates me as well. But they have been voted again the number one furniture store in the Tahlequah area, and rightfully so. Baker's Furniture, 3231 South Muskogee here in Tahlequah. Our guest today, we had her on, it's been probably a year or so, and certainly times have changed, audiences have come and gone, and we felt like it would be a very good time to bring her back in. Our special guest today is Laura Keister, who is Executive Director of Help in Crisis. And as I told you, Laura, coming in here, there are so many organizations, you know. You've got Help in Crisis, Habitat for Humanity, CASA, Sober House, all of these helpful agencies. But each one, of course, has a designated purpose. And yours certainly is a valued asset to the area. You might, if you don't mind, Laura, to start out, kind of give us the background on Help in Crisis, how it started, how it functions, and so forth.
Okay, well, thanks. And thanks, Ralph, for having me back here. But Help in Crisis was established in 1980. So we are on year 46. And you know, times have really changed over the last 46 years. Right. You know, in 1980, there actually were not any domestic violence laws. It actually was not illegal to beat your wife.
I didn't know that.
And people actually got stronger penalties for abusing animals than spouse abuse. So times have definitely changed, and we've made some progress over those 46 years, thank goodness. Still have a lot of progress to go, a lot of changes to go. But yeah, so Help in Crisis started. Linda Axley, she's a regular local to mm-hmm. Tahlequah.
And right.
She started the organization, quickly got together a board and a group of volunteers, and they housed the first crisis line at the fire department.
Oh.
And the ladies would go up and sit at the fire department and take turns answering the hotline. And so, yeah, I mean, we serve victims of domestic violence, sexual assault, and stalking. Mm-hmm. We serve a 4-county area, so we provide services in Cherokee, Adair, Sequoia, and Wagner County. We have a safe house here in Cherokee County. It's called Linda's House. Mm-hmm. And that is a place for survivors who do not have a safe place to go. They're leaving an abusive relationship and they don't have family or friends around or a place to stay for a while. And they're in danger.
yeah, and we might know, now we're talking about women. And children. We're not talking about the guys. There's another place for that. So this is strictly for the women who are abused, mistreated, and so forth and so on. And over the course of time, even though laws have changed, has the percentage of abuse decreased with the laws?
No, unfortunately, no. And I will say that we do see survivors that are male survivors of domestic violence as well.
Yep.
We provide the exact same services for male survivors. People don't talk about that as often.
No.
And a lot of times there's a little bit of a stigma for male survivors that are being abused by women.
That's true. I mean, the guy is supposed to be the big, strong individual, and that is the opinion of the general public. And when they hear that some guy's wife beat him, that's really kind of embarrassing to the guy.
Right. It sometimes is, and it's a hurdle sometimes that we have to overcome with those guys who do call and ask for help, that they deserve help and safety and a life of freedom, just like all the rest of us do.
Sure.
So we do provide those services. But to your question, you know, domestic violence numbers and cases just continue to rise. Mm. And Oklahoma seems to rank consistently in the top 10 of states in the nation of women abused by men. Or killed by men. Mm-hmm. And actually, we really stay around number one, number two, sometimes number three.
And what's your opinion? Why are we so high, so much higher than others?
Oh, gosh. I mean, my personal opinion is we don't spend a lot of money on prevention efforts, meaning, you know, we have to start talking about healthy relationships with kids, even in school. And, you know, what does love look like? What does healthy love look like? We don't really spend a lot of money in Oklahoma on prevention and educating our kids on, you know, what is consent and what does healthy relationship look like? I think we also have very rural areas that the more rural and actually native population has a little bit higher domestic violence numbers than non-natives. But, you know, we're right here in Cherokee County, the capital of Cherokee Nation. And so I think those two factors play into why Oklahoma's numbers are always higher as well.
Do the Cherokees have their own program as well?
They do have a domestic violence program. It's called One Fire, and we work really well together. We collaborate a lot of times. You know, there's things that they can do that we don't do, and then there are things that we do that they don't do.
Right.
So it's a good teamwork process. We're all trying to serve as many people as we can.
And as far as the abuse, we talked about the percentage. What is the seems to be the primary cause, other than I guess just physical assault type thing? Is that the number one thing?
You know, domestic violence isn't only physical abuse. And I think a lot of people think of domestic violence as black eyes and broken noses. Mm-hmm. And domestic violence is really about power and control. It's about manipulation. It's about coercion. It's about, you know, it's emotional abuse. A lot of victims are never, ever hit, but they are emotionally and psychologically, verbally abused to the point that they don't believe in themselves any longer. They don't believe that they're worthy of love. They don't believe that they can exist on their own. They've been beat down so much emotionally that, you know, they don't feel like they have what it takes to even leave.
And I think I discussed with you last time, first-timers that come in many times are wind up repeating and repeating, going over. And I guess maybe that's because of the loss of self-esteem. They feel like they can't survive on their own.
Absolutely. And it is so hard if you think about all the barriers that you face as a now maybe a single mom. Mm-hmm. So you have just left your source of income, your you may not have ever had a vehicle. You might not have been allowed to manage money. You had been given an allowance. And so now you decide to leave, maybe with just the things on your back.
Mm-hmm.
And right. There's so many barriers. Now you have to get a job. But how do I get a job if I have kids? Where do I can't get childcare until I have a job. I don't have a vehicle. So how am I going to get to work or mm-hmm. get my kids to daycare or school? So it's just it's very, very hard. And, you know, our shelter is about a 30 to 45 day stay. That's not enough time to start your life over.
No, it's not. What part does education play? Is it the fact that maybe this area is lesser educated, or do we see that maybe as being a part of the abuse?
I mean, there's not... I think the schools, as far as with children, I think the schools do the best they can with what they have. But most of the schools don't have dedicated people who are there to teach kids about what healthy relationships look like. Mm-hmm. So they're not getting much education in school for children. Adults, you know, we do a lot of community events. We do a lot of things where we're trying to tell people, you know, hey, here's what domestic violence is, and here's what's healthy, here's what's not, and we're here to help you. You don't have to leave and go through it by yourself. We'll walk through the process with you every step of the way.
It certainly is a tremendous service that you're doing. One thing I started to mention a while ago, it seems to me like I read somewhere where there has been less funding for mental health agencies. And I'm certain that also fuel adds fire to the fuel.
It does. You know, most survivors of domestic violence need some sort of therapy or counseling or maybe even medication. and it is hard to get those resources. And mental health agencies have seen a decrease in funding. You know, we have some great partnerships with our community mental health centers here in all four of the counties that we serve. But, you know, they can only provide what they can provide with the funding that we have
True.
Or that they have.
Yeah.
And we're all seeing funding cuts and, you know, just having to be creative with, okay, we're getting less from this grant this year. How are we going to make that up? You know, and we're a nonprofit, so we do as many fundraisers as we possibly can. And we look for every grant that is out there that might possibly be something we can apply for. But it's really tough. And last year was tough. We had, you know, federal funding has gone down. We had a government shutdown where our funds, you know, where all funds were frozen for several weeks. It was difficult, but I will say that our community always comes through and has really, you know, has stepped up this year and helped in terms of giving financially, volunteering, making donations. I mean, our organization would not exist at all without the support of our communities.
We're running out of time here. Certainly, we want to let people know of your available services. We do need to let them know how they might contact you.
Okay. So definitely, you can check out our website, which is helpingcrisisinc.org. We're pretty visible on Facebook and Instagram, all social media. Our office phone number is 918-456-0673. But we, you know, this year, one of the things we're going to start focusing on this year is we are looking for people who have gifts and talents that maybe they could offer as a volunteer. Mm-hmm. We haven't officially named it yet, but it's kind of like, can you be a resource? So mm-hmm. maybe you cut hair mm-hmm. and you could join up with us in our resource directory and say, you know what, I'll do 5 free haircuts this year. And so we're really going to, for 2026, we're really going to be looking for partners with people out there that have certain skills that maybe they could just volunteer, like an attorney. They volunteer 5 hours.
Right.
They want to join and be part and offer their skills. If we don't have the money to do these things, I know we can find people in the community who are already have the who already have those skill sets that would be willing to offer that to us.
Reminds me of the saying, a lot of people have incorporated, together we build, and certainly we're all a part of that community. Our special guest today, and we certainly appreciate her taking time out to be on our program, is Laura Keister. She is Executive Director of Help in Crisis, and great thing that they're doing. And certainly, if you're willing to do some volunteer work, you be sure and get in contact with them. And certainly, if you're in need of their services, contact them as well. Our special program is brought to you each and every week here on Community Chat by our good friends at Baker's Furniture here in Tahlequah. They're just super nice people. Bill John, Sherry Baker, I've known them about all their lives, and certainly appreciate all they do in the community. And if you're in need of furniture, you be sure and go by and see them. Baker's Furniture here in Tahlequah, and they offer free delivery within the city limits of Tahlequah. We hope you'll join us again next week at the same time for Community Chat.